You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today's message is entitled Radioactive. Everybody say radioactive. Radioactive. And in the main verse, the first verse we're going to come out of today is John chapter 10, verse 10. And so today is called Radioactive. Now, I hope everybody had a good Saturday. I hope everybody's team won. Did everybody's team win that you wanted to win Saturday? Condolences for Pastor Shane. His Gators got beat. I'm not even going to say by who. We don't have to say who beat them. But whoever beat them is probably my favorite team. So it is what it is. Hey, you know what? This morning, though, I've got another favorite team, and I want to show my support today for my other favorite team. So let me show you. I'm just going to take this shirt off, if that's okay. I've got clothes on underneath. I promise I do. This is my favorite team right here, Gateway Family Church. This is our softball shirts, and we've got a softball team at Gateway. And if you count last year's record and this year's record so far, I mean, we're on a little bit of a downslide. We got a 12-game losing streak. And at least it's a streak, right? At least it's a streak. But we're going to turn that around Monday night. We got a doubleheader. Gerald decided not to play for us this year. And so just our team is falling apart. So it's all Gerald's fault. No, we got a good team. We have a lot of fun. And so if you want to come out tomorrow night, we play right over there at the big ballpark, the big baseball field right next to the big football field in Trustful. I think it's the high school field, junior high field, who knows, whatever it is. It's big, and I can't hit a home run. So it doesn't really matter. But that's where we play tomorrow night, 7:15 and 8:15 if you want to come support us. All right, John chapter 10. Verse 10, today we're talking about radioactive. John chapter 10 says this, I have come to, what?
You did it
home run. See, y'all be quiet. It doesn't count if it's not out of the park. I hit an in the park home run the other night, which just means I had to run way, way harder than my lungs would want me to run, and I wanted to take a nap afterwards. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says this, it says, I want to give you life, and life more abundant. Now, this is one of my favorite verses. I love reading this verse because I always want to have life, but then I want to know, what is that life more abundant? What is that extra thing that he's wanting to give me? See, a lot of times we can just coast through life, breathing, walking, eating, but what about that life more abundant? What about that other thing that God wants for us? And so today, I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about that life more abundant, about being radioactive today. Here's the thing about radioactivity. Here's the thing about radiation. Whenever we drop the bomb on Japan, it absolutely changed the world as we know it. No one had ever done that before. No one had ever seen that much power in one place, and it changed the world forever. Whenever radiation touches your body, I've been studying just radiation itself, and you know, we see a lot of times whenever people have cancer and they go through radiation treatment, what are some things that we notice, right? You notice hair falling out. You notice maybe sometimes with certain people, skin discoloration or vomiting. You see all these different aspects of the radiation, but did you know the reason that happens, I always thought it was exterior, but it's not. Whenever you see radiation poisoning after fallout or whatever, that radiation literally gets into the DNA of a person's cells and begins to change the very DNA. The smallest part of who we are begins to change because of the radiation. And that change on the inside manifests on the outside with hair loss or skin discoloration or whatever. So today I want to talk to you about radiation. A supernatural, a spiritual radiation that God wants to give you that will not only change your outside. As a matter of fact, it doesn't really change a lot of your outside. It changes everything on the inside. And then that is revealed on the outside. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you today for your Holy Spirit. I ask today that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open up our minds, that you would help us today to receive all that you have for us. God, I thank you for life, and I thank you for life more abundant. I thank you for that life of more that we all need. And God, I thank you for our softball team. Help us to win. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So here's what I want to talk about. My son, there's a song that's called, it's called Radioactive. Okay? There's a song called Radioactive. And how many of y'all have ever heard the song Radioactive? Sinner, 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 sinner. Okay. I just want to see who needs to get saved this morning. There's a song called Radioactive. I know, I'm a sinner too. This song called Radioactive. And in this song, it's a really cool song or whatever. But when my son, Gabriel, listens to the song, he's a lot like his mama. He cannot figure out lyrics to save his life, so he just makes up whatever he thinks they're saying. And so whenever he listens to the song, he calls it Ready and Active. He'll say, Dad, there's that song, Ready and Active. And he'll sing it, and he'll say, I'm ready and active, ready and active. I mean, he just loves the Ready and Active song. And so today, what I want to talk to you about is being ready and active. Being ready and active. Look, whenever God does something in your life, he gives you life ready and life more abundant, active. There's a book in the Bible called the Book of Acts. You can call it the Book of Action if you want to, because in the Book of Acts, it's separated into two parts. You've got chapter 1, which is being ready. And then chapters 2 through 28 or 27, however many are in there, that is active. It's all about doing stuff. We've got a problem sometimes in Christianity, and that is we love to go to church, we love to hear a message, we love to worship God, and we love to do stuff in church. But whenever we leave church, there's no active out there. We think active is what we do in here. Can I tell you something? What you do in here is just getting ready. What you do out there is when you are active. We've got to learn to be ready and active. Amen. When I look at the disciples, you look in different chapters of the Bible, I just see a bunch of zeros. I see people that don't get it. I see people that struggle in life. And that's not bad, because a lot of us struggle, but these disciples had these issues. Jesus gets murdered and then comes back from the dead, and the next thing we see the disciples doing is they're hiding behind locked doors, scared that somebody's going to get them, to the point that Jesus shows up in the room and they're all frightened. I see a bunch of guys that are cowards, that are scared, and look, I don't blame them. I'm not talking bad about them. At the end of the day, if the guy that I was following and giving my life for was brutally murdered, I might would be scared too. We see Peter in the New Testament. Peter goes around, people start asking him, do you know Jesus? And he denies that he even knows Christ. At one point, the Bible says he begins to curse a little girl because he is so scared of people finding out that he's a Christian. So we see this, these cowards, these zeros, all of a sudden, whenever you fast forward to the book of Acts, you see them become heroes. Acts chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says that Peter stood up and raised his voice to a crowd of people. He begins to speak boldly the things of God, and 3,000 people give their heart to Jesus Christ. What's the difference? What happened to the guy that was denying Christ and now all of a sudden is preaching to thousands of people? We see a verse in Acts 17, verse 6, and these guys are talking about the disciples. And they say, these are the men that have turned the world upside down. One version says, turn the world on its ear. Where were those guys when they were locked up in a room scared to talk to anybody? Something happened to these disciples. Something happened that absolutely changed their lives. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to live a life of always being ready. I want to live a life where I'm ready and active. I need the radioactive power of the Holy Spirit in my life to change me from the inside out. I need more than salvation. I need more than just raising my hand and praying a prayer. That's good. And that gets you where you need to be as far as ready. But there's so much more to life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. I came to give you Acts 1 and I came to give you Acts 2. It's two different things, and we need both of them. And a lot of times whenever people start talking about the Holy Spirit, here's what happens, is we get so scared of the Holy Spirit because for years we've called the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. We think of Casper, right? We think of Ghostbusters. We think of somebody that's going to come in and possess us and make us talk funny and shake and do weird things. But he's not the Holy Ghost, folks. It's a bad translation. He's the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. The Bible talks about the word Spirit as being the breath of God. That whenever God breathes, he breathes Spirit. So whenever God breathes on you, when he picked up Adam out of the dirt and began to form Adam, the first man, the Bible says he breathed the breath of God, the Spirit of God, into Adam. In John chapter 20, verse 20, the Bible says that Jesus breathed his Spirit on the disciples. So today, in order for us to talk about the Holy Spirit, we need to understand a few things. And if you're taking notes today, I'm going to hit you with a couple of things today that may, for some of you, seem elementary. For others of you, it may seem totally different than what you're used to. But I just want to encourage you today, like my dad did me when they put me on a sheep to teach me how to ride like bulls. You know, little kids, when they go to the rodeo, they can't ride bulls, so they put you on like a pig or a sheep, and they put a harness on them. They say, just hold on, right? So if you don't get it today, just hold on. We'll get to the end, and you'll figure it out. The other thing I want to do today, really more than give you more information, is I want to stir up more questions. If at all possible, I want to stir up more questions inside of you. Why? Because I want you to go home and do some research on your own. The things I learned the most about God is not what somebody told me from the pulpit. It's what somebody told me. It stirred up a question, and I went home and studied it. I got on the internet and studied it. I busted out books and studied them. I listened to other preachers. I wanted to hear, what is it this guy's talking about, and how can I apply that to my life? So today, I hope I stir up some questions in you. If you leave here today and you don't get it all, it's okay. Go home and study. Come back next week and see what God does. Amen? So the first thing I want everybody to understand is the term tripart being. Tripart being. Tri, T-R-I, right? We know that word, tricycle, right? Triangle. What does it mean? Three. Okay. My wife knows that. Kindergarten teacher, she got that part down. She knows her shapes and colors. Watch out. A tripart being. God is a God of three parts. Okay? You look in the Bible, he's one God, three different parts. The Bible says that he is Father, Son, and Spirit. Okay? So we got the Father, and you see this at the baptism of Jesus. If you look in the New Testament, baptism of Jesus, we see all three parts represented. You see the Son, Jesus, being baptized. The Bible says then the Holy Spirit descended, came down on him, and then you hear the Father speak, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." One God, three parts. One God, three parts. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They all have their part to play. Now, if God is three parts, Genesis says we are created in his image, in his likeness. Therefore, we also are three parts. We also are three parts. And if you think I'm lying, have a kid, especially a little girl. You will see all three parts manifested in a little girl. I promise you that. Right? We are spirit, soul, and body. The body part's easy to get. Here it is. Right? It ain't much to look at, but we all got them. Amen? The hard part is distinguishing between the soul and the spirit. Let me help you real quick. The soul is what we call our mind, our will, and our emotions. Think about it. Your body doesn't always operate according to your mind, will, and emotions, right? Those are something separate from you. And that's what I said when I said, if you want to know that we're three parts, have a little girl. My little girl, Emma, I love her to death. She's 5 years old. But for whatever reason, there comes times when she just cries. And we don't know why. There's no excuse. There's no reason. God love her. She just starts crying. And what I'm afraid of is I used to be a youth pastor, and I had to deal with teenage girls a lot, and I'm afraid that it's just going to get worse. Am I right? Do you guys know? Husbands, y'all are like, yeah, man, we got your back. All the ladies in the house are like, no, we are not like that. All the men in the room are like, yes, they are, this one. So we understand that we are three different beings. And then your spirit man is that part of you that is connected or disconnected from God. Okay, I know that's going to be the hard part to understand. So let's move on. John chapter 20, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit affects our life in two different ways. I'm going to throw out some terms that we're used to. If you've been in church all your life, you're used to these terms. If you have not been in church all your life, if you're new to this, you may not be used to these terms, but we'll explain them. Two terms, salvation and baptism. Let me just start with salvation for a minute. Salvation is an act of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we throw out words like filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. Can I just tell you, those are two different things. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 20, he breathes on his disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now at that point, they weren't what we call in church baptized with the Holy Spirit. They just received the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the Spirit of God lived inside of them. So whenever you're preaching to a little kid, if I'm a children's pastor and I'm telling little kids, ask Jesus into your heart. What are we saying? Is it actually Jesus coming into their heart? No. Jesus is the Son. He's the body. What it is, it's the Spirit of Jesus that comes into our life. Now, the Bible says it's like this. It's like a spirit connection. It's His Spirit connecting with our spirit. If you're not serving God, if you're not a Christian, if you're not loving God, then your spirit man is dead. Even though your physical man is alive, your spirit man is dead. Your emotions work, your will works, your mind works, so your soul is alive, your flesh is alive, but your spirit is dead. So, whenever Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, it's like in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, it says, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to live according to my ways. So whenever you accept Christ, you raise your hand, you pray the prayer, you fill out the card, whatever that looks like for you, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what you're doing is you're accepting the Spirit of God. He connects with your dead, dried up spirit and brings it back to life. That's what happens inside of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. So all of a sudden we become one with God in spirit. That is the essentials of salvation. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So in other words, when we get saved, it's more than just praying a prayer. It's more than just accepting Jesus and trying to do better. What it is God resurrecting your dead spirit by His Spirit, connecting the two together. That word there, when it talks about becoming one, is the same type of word they use for marriage relationship. In other words, there is a spiritual connection that should not be broken between God's Spirit and your spirit, and you come alive. I came to give you life, right? Came to give you life. Now, there's this word that we use a lot of times in church, and some people have misused this word, and sometimes we get a little bit scary of this word. But the word is an English word, so therefore it shouldn't be scary. The word is manifestation. When something is manifest, all that means is it's something that was hidden is now revealed, right? You see the byproduct of something else. Okay? So, for example, your car may be on fire and you don't know it until what? You see the smoke coming out of the hood, right? You may be driving around with your brake on and not know it until you smell what? The brakes burning. Man, I did that one time. I had this Jeep Wrangler. And I always had the top off. It could be 2 degrees outside. I had the top off, a hoodie on, and a big old jacket. Got pulled over by the cops one time because they thought I was a thug riding around in the middle of the wintertime like that. And it could have been the very loud music coming out of the car too. I don't know. So anyways, I'm driving around. And one time I drove to my buddy's house, and because it, just the wind and all this stuff, I never smelled the fact that my emergency brake was on for 30 minutes. I had to get new brakes. But I knew something was wrong whenever I stopped the car and I got out of the car and I could smell. What happened? The burning brakes manifested in a smell that I could tell. So, okay, if that's the truth, how does the Spirit of God, when He connects with your spirit, how does He manifest in a way that we can know it? Galatians chapter 5 says it's called the fruits of the Spirit. Now, before we ever get into talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, before we ever get to talking about gifts of the Spirit, the thing you need to know, number one, is if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you don't have anything. Paul says this. He says, you can do all the gifts you want, but if you don't have love, which is the main part of the fruits of the Spirit, then all you are is making noise. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean nothing. So we need to get this down in our heart today, that we need the fruits to manifest. I was talking this week in a small group with Krista. I hope you don't mind me using you as an example, Krista, but I've already started now. I've already started, so I can't stop now. It's like a train. It just keeps going. I was talking to Krista this past week in a small group, and one of the neat things that Krista was saying was she began to tell this story about how she was dealing with a coworker that had previously, she had previously had a problem with them. And she was just talking to this coworker, and just life was going on, and all of a sudden someone would come up to her and they'd say, man, I'm so shocked and so proud of you that you're treating this person so nice and so kind and with love or whatever. And she said, "What? I'm just acting normal. I don't know what you're talking about." And then all of a sudden another person said the same thing, right? You had two people. Man, why are you doing this? And she said, without even knowing it, she was treating this person better. What happened? She was exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. Ezekiel says that I will put my spirit inside of your spirit and cause you to walk according to my ways, even when you don't even mean to. His fruits begin to grow out of your life when you don't even mean for it to happen. All of a sudden, you just start doing things, acting ways, thinking ways, seeing things totally different. First time I got saved, gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I was 10 years old. Man, it was an awesome experience. Middle of the night, woke my parents up, had them pray for me. 20 years later, mentioned it in a sermon, and they said they didn't remember any of it. Man, come on. But I remember that next day, even at 10 years old, I knew something was different. Something was different. We got out, man, and I was... We were living in Guatemala, and we had a team from the United States there, and they were doing ministry that day. And I remember as a 10-year-old going out, man, and I was witnessing, I was telling people about Jesus. And we had these guys that were supposed to be telling people about Jesus, and all I was supposed to do was interpret it to Spanish. And I remember, and I've had some of these people come back to me later saying they were just shocked. Like, how in the world did this little 10-year-old do this? But I would just tell the Americans, y'all just shut up for a minute, and I would just preach to these people. I was talking to them about Jesus in Spanish, you know, and people were getting saved. And it was just one of those things. It was something inside of me that was just excited, and I was exhibiting these fruits of love and these fruits of mercy. I just had all these fruit coming out of me, and that's what happens whenever you allow God's Spirit to wake your spirit up from the dead. He manifests Himself in fruit. So let's move on. The next way that God touches your life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. First way the Spirit comes in you. Everybody say, in me. Amen. Okay, the next thing that He does is He gets on me. Everybody say, on me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, Jesus speaking, wait in Jerusalem until the power comes on you. It will come on you. Now, let me tell you something. When the Spirit goes in you, He affects your spirit man. But whenever He comes upon you, He affects your flesh and your soul. All of a sudden, He begins to connect with your mind, your will, your emotions. He begins to connect with your physical man, and things begin to change. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus says that you will be clothed with power. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't about goosebumps. It isn't about making you feel better all the time, although that's a part of it. That's a part of it. The Bible says that there's a part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's about lifting you up, encouraging you, edifying you, but it's about power that comes on you. And Jesus said it's like clothing. It's like taking a big old jacket and putting it on top of you, that it surrounds you, it covers you. Whenever Jesus spoke in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, about the Holy Spirit coming upon you from on high. Here's what, if you translate that out into the Greek, it literally means to come upon your mind. That he gets on your brain, your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul. And then he manifests himself in what we call gifts, which may not be a good translation, because really he is the gift at the end of the day. And what we call gifts are really more like tools. But the Bible says he manifests himself on you, in your physical man. That's why Jesus, listen, did you notice we have no record of Jesus performing a single miracle before his baptism? He gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. He gets baptized in water. Spirit descends upon him. Father speaks. He goes out, and the first thing that happens, he gets tempted. Then he comes back and starts doing miracles. What happened? When the Holy Spirit came upon him, notice it wasn't in him. It came upon him. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, it affected his physical man to the point that he could touch somebody and see him be healed. He could touch him and see him be healed. Why? Because it affected the body. It affected the soul. The spirit connects to our spirit whenever we're saved. But whenever we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then he connects with everything else. So we become whole. Whenever I read in Acts chapter 2, and if you're following along with us in lifejournal.cc, it's just a website. It just gives you chapters to read throughout the week. But a lot of our staff, a lot of our leaders, we read Life Journal, and it kind of keeps us all on the same page. Here's an interesting thing that I want you to notice. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up, he preaches the gospel, tells people about Jesus, and then the next thing you know, all the people start saying, okay, now what? Right? Isn't that the question we always have? Okay, preacher, that's good, but now what? What do I do to take what you've just said and apply it to my life? So Peter says in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That is what we call salvation and water baptism, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. But then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I find it amazing that although they are two separate acts, we don't see anything special happen to those people. He says, get saved and receive the gift. It's almost like there's two things I want you to do today. I want you to get saved and I want you to receive the gift. Don't just get stuck on the getting saved part. Also receive the gift. But notice how he doesn't make it difficult. There are no hoops to jump through. There is nothing in there about, you know, I want you to stand and pray for 3 hours. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. He just said receive. Receive. When I was a kid growing up and people would talk to me about the Holy Spirit, to be totally honest with you, it was made so difficult. It was like you couldn't receive the Holy Spirit until. You know what I mean? It was like, look, the power of God is good and it's for you, but you got to earn it. You got to earn it by how long you pray at the altar. You got to earn it by, you know, by how long you can stand there with your hand raised. And I remember going to camps as a little kid and people would want to pray for someone to have the Holy Spirit. And they were taking that person and shaking them and moving them, you know, and they're doing this. And it was just like this big, huge emotional to-do. And at the end of the night, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Every so often people would say, I got it, just to get them off of me. You know, yes, please, thank you. You know, let me go. I'm getting dizzy, I'm about to throw up. Sometimes I want to read the Bible and I just want to believe what it says. Like sometimes I get tired of adding my own stuff to it. And sometimes I just want to read the Bible and say, okay, God, if this is true, then I want it to be true now. If it was true then, I want it to be true now. And if all it is a gift and I have to receive it, that's easy. Why is that so hard? Why is it so difficult for us? Why do we want to make everybody jump through hoops? It's like I was at a church one time and they said, if you want to be a member of this church, you got to go through this 12-week class. I started laughing. I was like, there ain't no way I'm showing up at a 12-week class to be a member. Right? So whenever we started this, we said, we're going to make ours 4 weeks. And the fourth one is going to be really, really easy. It'll be about 15 minutes, and we give you donuts. And so, like, I want it to be as easy as possible for you to become a part of this church. Whenever God says, I want you to receive the gift, all he said is receive it. It's there, it's available, it's a present. When you go through on Sunday, on Christmas morning, and someone's got a present for you under the tree, they don't say, no, whoa. You can't get this present until you run up and down the stairs about four times, and I want you to fix me breakfast, fix me lunch, you wash my clothes. No. They say, hey, here's a present for you, just going to get it, going to take it, use it. Here's what we've done sometimes in church. We've made it too difficult for people to receive it, and so they shy away from it. The other thing is, we sometimes accept the gift and then don't ever use it. We accept it, we don't ever use it. Or we think it's only for in here. And when we think it's only for in here and we don't use it out there for its intended purpose, it's like we put it on, we want to show it off. We want to show everybody, look, here's my gift, isn't it pretty? There it is. Remember whenever you were in the 90s, remember the 90s when all of a sudden people started realizing that, hey, if you have an unopened Star Wars toy, that it's worth like thousands of dollars. And people started getting all these Star Wars toys and they would hold them up in their little packages and they looked great. And then in the 2000s, they were worth nothing at all, you know. And so there we were stuck with all these unopened Star Wars toys. Sometimes we hold up our little Star Wars toy, our little Holy Spirit, and there he is. He's great. He's wonderful. And whenever I'm going to hold him up in church so everybody can see him. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to have him right there so y'all can see him. But then we never use him whenever we go outside. He intended for you to take the cap off and pour it out. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, he says that the Holy Spirit is like a river of living water inside of you that flows out from you. A river of living water. Whenever I was a children's pastor and a youth pastor, the best way to explain it to kids was, you already have the Holy Spirit inside of you at salvation. But it's almost like a Coke bottle. If you take that Coke bottle and you shake it up real good, and then you open up the cap, what happens? It flows out of you. I want to encourage everybody in the room today, open the cap. There's people out there, look, I don't always need your gift. I want it, man. If you got a word for me, you got something for me, man, give it to me. If I'm hurt, I want you to heal me, pray for me. But look, what about those people at the gas station? What about those people at Walmart? What about the people that are out there and they're waiting on somebody to open up the cap? They're waiting on somebody to just open up the cap and say, hey, just take the wrapper off and let me play with the toy. I just need what you got. And we, well, no, this is for church. I got to hold on to this. We can't live our lives like that. We got to be ready and active. We got to have life and life more abundant. I want to close with one quick thought today. And I know today this has been, normally whenever someone talks about, if you're going to preach a message just on God, there's just no way you can get it all done in one sermon. I want to encourage you. I've got other sermons on the website that talk about the Holy Spirit, talk about the baptism. Go back and listen to those, man. Check them out. But let me give you this out of the Old Testament real quick. And then we're gonna shut up and pray. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament about the temple. And the temple was created with three parts. Sound familiar? Three parts. You had the outer court, that was the outside. You had the holy place, which was like the building itself, and there was an area inside that building, and then you had a room inside of that building that was called the Holy of Holies, the most holy place. So you had three parts. You had the very most inside part, then the rest of the building, and then the outer court, the area outside. Sounds a lot to me like what? The spirit, soul, and body. And here's what happened in 2 Chronicles chapters 5 and also in chapter 7. It's kind of a continuation of the story. Here's what happens. Let me just explain it to you. The Bible says that Solomon builds this great temple, and then he goes and gets the Ark of the Covenant, which the Bible describes as the place where the Spirit of God was at that time. And he takes that Ark and he puts it not in the outer court, not in the inner court, not in the middle one, but he puts it all the way in the deepest part of the temple. And once he puts it in the deepest part of the temple, the Bible says that a cloud, a breath, a spirit, that God began to move out of that inner part into the next part and into the outer court. And it was so much that the priest, man, they couldn't even finish their job. The preachers couldn't preach. The worship team couldn't worship because the cloud was so thick and it moved from the inside out. In chapter 7, the Bible says that Solomon sacrificed. And whenever he sacrificed, that fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And the Spirit of the Lord filled the entire place. In the New Testament, we read about, I asked you earlier, I said, what happened between Acts 1 and Acts 2, verse 17? Like, what was the difference? What was that thing that changed life? What was that radioactive bomb that got set off that absolutely changed the disciples' spiritual DNA? Can I tell you what it was? The Bible says in Acts 2, chapter 4, that the Holy Spirit showed up and came down on the disciples. They already had him on the inside, but now he showed up on the outside. And whenever he showed up, the Bible says it was like fire coming into the room. In the Old Testament, it says fire came down and the Spirit showed up. Can I tell you something today? You may or may not see fire. We're not going to get into that part of it. Some of y'all see fire, you'd be freaking out, right? You have fire extinguishers out, trying to put out the Holy Spirit, and he's just laughing at you. Here's the thing. What you need to know today is, what you got at salvation is good. That's life. You need that. But there's so much more available to you. As a gift, all you got to do is ask for it and receive it. It's available. It may be available. You may receive it right now. You may receive it when you get home. I had a pastor friend of mine. He told me one time he grew up in a church that didn't ever talk about the Holy Spirit. He showed up at a church one day. They said something about the Holy Spirit. And whenever they did, he went home. And he said, God, if this thing is real, would you just give it to me? I accept it. My friend said he was baptized, covered that day in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage everybody in the room today, seek the life more abundant. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14 that we need to seek the gifts, right? We need that aspect of the Holy Spirit. He says, look, don't just get stuck on ready. You got to do something at some point. In our early, in our secret service that we do before this service at 9 o'clock, we're taking the next few weeks to really unpack the gifts of the Holy Spirit and really get into that. And I want to take some time at another time when I get to preach again to really talk about the gifts and what they mean to us and how we use them, the tools that God has given us. I think it's important for us to know that there's more to life than just sitting on a pew. My last story. There's this church out in California. Cool, Lord. That's going to be bad. There's this church out in California, and I was listening to the pastor talk. And he was talking about something similar to this. And he was telling about a young student in his church that just decided that he was ready and active. He decided that I don't want to just sit on my gift. I don't want to just show it off. I want to use it. And so one day he goes to the grocery store. And I've told some of you this story before. But he goes to the grocery store. And while he's at the grocery store, he's walking in and he sees this person. And this person, he doesn't know this person. But like the Bible says about Jesus, he had compassion. He said, I don't know, there's something about that guy, and I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for this guy. And he didn't really know what to do, so he just goes up to the person. He says, hey, mister, I don't know you, and you don't know me, but I just feel like God wants me to pray for you. Is that okay? The guy breaks down, starts crying, and says, man, I've been sick for so long. I've been hurt for so long. Yes, please, pray for me. The kid begins to pray for this guy, and as he prays for him, the guy is miraculously healed. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. One of the tools is the gift of healing. The guy's miraculously healed. So all of a sudden, he looks around, and they're just like, man, this is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. But somebody else is walking by, and they see that. And they say, hey, I want to be healed too. So the kid's like, okay. And he goes over and starts praying for that guy, and that guy gets healed. What happened? He decided not to sit on his gift. He decided, I've got to be ready and active. I've got to let the power that God has put on my life flow into other people. I've got to take the cap off. It's not just about church. It's about outside those walls. we get you ready in here. The Bible says the purpose of the pastor is to equip the saints, to prepare you to go out and do the ministry. It's my job today to prepare you, to equip you. Why don't you all just sit right there, but close your eyes with me today. I want you to focus on you for just a minute.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.